Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy, he even says. Luke 6:23, jump up and down for joy. Why? For behold, your reward is great in heaven. I'm the great rewarder. So who's the Lord? He's the one who rewards the faithful far beyond what they could ever, ever imagine. But now let's throw the brakes on for a minute here. Because this all sounds just perfect, doesn't it? Who's the Lord? Well, He's the faithful, empathetic one who delivers us. He loves us so deeply that He rewards us beyond what we deserve. That's who He is. That's who He revealed Himself to be in Exodus 6. But it doesn't stop there. Let me share two more ideas with you from here in Exodus that really ought to get your attention. Because it also says in chapter 7, verse 5, look at Exodus 7, 5. It says the Lord is someone who punishes. 7:5, the Bible says, the Egyptians shall know that I'm the Lord. When? When will the Egyptians know? When will they know I'm the Lord? When I stretch out my hand against them. When I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. You know what it means to stretch out His hand here in this context? To stretch out His hand here means to punish. It means to bring plagues down upon them. So Egypt will know I'm the Lord when I begin punishing them for their rebellion. Exodus chapter 14, verse 8. The Egyptians shall know that I'm the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. So note, two times here. This time, 7:5, he says, they'll know I'm the Lord with the 10 plagues. Exodus 14, he says, they'll know I'm the Lord when the Red Sea closes on them. They'll know I'm the Lord when I've punished them for their rebellion. I don't want to know about that. I want to concentrate on the faithful, empathetic deliverer who loves me and rewards me. Right? Wouldn't that what you want to just focus on? He says, but if you want to truly know me, you know I'm also one who punishes the rebellion. We need to recognize that. Acknowledge that. Who is the Lord? He's the one who punishes sin. He's also one that distinguishes. The Lord is a distinguisher. He's a distinguisher. If you look at chapter 11, verse 7, look at this. 11:7. Exodus 11:7. This is whenever Israel is leaving after the 10th plague. After the 10th and final plague has fallen, he says, what's going to happen is this. You're going to march out of there and no one's going to stop you. In fact, he says in verse 7, not even a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. When you walk out of there, not only will you walk out with plunder, with gold and riches, you'll be better off going out than you were when you came in. He says, they won't stop you. Not even a dog's going to growl at you and look at you funny as you're going out. So that everyone will know when you march out of there, they will all know that God distinguishes between Egypt and Israel. Now you might be thinking to yourself, now wait a minute. I thought that God didn't show partiality. Well, you're right. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. God doesn't show partiality when it comes to offering hope, when it comes to offering salvation. All men everywhere, of every stripe, of every generation, all people are offered hope. As you read a passage like Titus 2:11, the grace of God has appeared bringing salvation for all people. Salvation's offered to all. God does not show partiality when it comes to offering hope. However, God does distinguish between submission and rebellion. Absolutely. You had to think of it this way. What mature Christians are to do, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, what mature Christians are to do is to be just like God and be able to distinguish between good and evil. So divine vengeance is absolutely going to be inflicted upon those who do not know God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. Egypt didn't know God. Israel did. And so God made a distinction. Now that's important for you and for me to note and to understand right here, right now, today. There is such a thing as sin. There is such a thing as that which is wrong. And when you and I participate in that, God sees the difference. And so He said, you're going to walk out of here that day so that everyone else can see that I distinguish between rebellion and submission, and you must do the same. So who's the Lord? He is the one who distinguishes between good and evil. Let us be able to humbly, lovingly do the same. Now, the next concept is this. What keeps us from knowing Him? Why is it, if we use that situation, why is it that Pharaoh could so boldly, so callously stand there in front of Moses and say, I don't know the Lord? And what about the people of Israel at various times? They themselves, there were things that they would do and that they would say that clearly demonstrated they didn't know the Lord either. At certain times, they had to come to know Him. What is it? What causes that? What were the reasons? What would it be that keeps us from knowing God today? Well, based upon what's here in the book of Exodus, let me suggest just a few things very quickly. One of the things that keeps us from knowing God is that we only see our pain. Look at chapter 6 of Exodus. And here in this passage in Exodus 6, this is what's happening. Exodus 6. God's saying to the people, here's who I am. Remember? The faithful one that loves and rewards, that's me. But in Exodus 6, look at verse 9. Moses spoke thus to the people. You might as well say it this way. Moses told the people, Moses described to the people who the Lord is. But notice this. But they didn't listen to Moses. So in other words, Moses says, here's who the Lord is. And they said, we don't want to hear it. Why? Here's why. Because of their broken spirit and their harsh slavery. At this point in time, the people of Israel, they're not ready to listen yet because their pain's too great. They can't see what God is seeking to do because their spirits are broken. They're really, nobody's making light of this, they're really facing a hard time. It's not made up, it's not invented. What they are facing is hard. But here's also the reality. It's keeping them from seeing God. It's keeping them from hearing God. And so what He's calling on them to do is to look beyond. He's calling on them to look beyond their slavery. He's calling on them to look beyond those whips that are cracking behind them. He's calling on them to look beyond those things that are causing them to hurt. And He's saying, look beyond that. Look beyond the now. Look beyond the temporary to Me. Look beyond all of that to who I am and what I've promised. Look beyond all of that to the land I've promised. So instead of looking only at the pain, what you and I are to do is to look for the God who comforts in those hurtful situations. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, Isaiah 51, 12 and 13, you and I must be looking to this God who comforts and gives the ability to see through. Because when you only see your pain, you fail to know Him as you should. Secondly, it says of them that they didn't know who the Lord was because they were just looking at monetary things, temporary things, material things. If you look with me in Exodus chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, whenever Moses and Aaron go before Pharaoh and they say, let my people go, do you remember what he said, why he answered the way he did? Read it with me. Chapter 5, verse 4. Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? You've shut down operations. All the assembly lines have been halted, and that can't be. They got to keep on churning out bricks. They got to keep on churning out new buildings for Me. You've caused them to stop. We can't halt production. And then he says, you want them to leave? Well, then there goes all my labor, all my force of labor. All Pharaoh could see was his free labor would be stopping, that they had stopped working. He didn't want it to slow down for one single moment, let alone go away completely. And so he didn't know God. They said, let my people go. He says, nope, that's going to bother my bottom line, and I can't do that. Well, very similarly, our view of God gets distorted. Our relationship with God is impaired when we make the material more important than it really is. If you'd note a passage like 1 Timothy 6, we won't take the time to read it now, but I want you to note this. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 10. And God says, when you fall in love with money, when you fall in love with the material, when you fall in love with the temporary, it destroys your relationship with Me. He doesn't say, divest yourself of every last penny. He says, no, use what you have to my glory. When you only see the temporary, when you only see the material, you can't see God. So what we must do is use the blessings that God has given us for His glory. We must use the blessings that God has given us so that others can come to know God and so that we can come to know Him better. Next is the idea of just absolutely losing touch with reality. We get too busy with the world, too busy with what we're doing, going here and there, and we begin to lose touch with what is real and what really matters. Exodus 5, verse 12, the Bible says that they've been sent all over. People were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt, gathering up stubble for straw. And their reaction is this. Look at verse 20. They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them. They came out from Pharaoh, and they said to them, the Lord look on you and judge, because you've made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and you put a sword in their hand to kill us. So here's the deal. Life's hard for them. It's busy. They're running all over the place, not having time to rest, not having time to breathe, not enough hours in the day to get all the job done. And what their focus becomes on is this. We now stink in the eyes of Pharaoh. The way that Pharaoh looks at us isn't favorable anymore. You know what the Lord replies to this? You know what we should reply to this? So what? So what if Pharaoh doesn't look at you the right way anymore? They had lost touch with what really matters. They'd lost touch with reality. What matters is what the Lord has said, what the Lord expects, what the Lord sees, what the Lord desires. Moses was the chosen deliverer. Let this sink in. Moses is the chosen deliverer. Moses is the one who's chosen by God for a great and awesome task. But the people see Moses as the destroyer. Things have gotten flipped, haven't they? Moses, sent by God to deliver. They look at Moses and say, you're here to destroy us. They'd lost touch with reality. I could probably bring up about 406 different kinds of ideas in the last couple of days of headlines in the news that would illustrate losing touch with reality. Let me just mention one that really got my attention this week. There's a man who is suing in order to have his age lowered by 20 years. Did you read about this? He's 69 years old, and the government officials won't allow him to change his birth certificate to say he's 49. He's 69, wants his birth certificate to say he's 49, and he's suing because they won't let him. You know, all those legal things, well, what about your insurance and your pension and all this, all those things? He says, I don't care. The doctor said I have the body of a 45-year-old. I ought to get to say I'm 49. And he said, in fact, when there's people out there, and this is his argument, this is not my argument, it's his argument. There's people out there who are born men and they want to live as women, and that's allowed. So why can't I? If they can change that, why can't I change my age? I should be allowed to change that. And he's suing. We've lost touch with reality. Those that have been sent to deliver were called those who have been sent to destroy. When someone says, this is the message of God, we say, you've just been come here to destroy me. You've come to destroy my life. You've come to make things hard. The reality is, no, this is the message from God. Things have gotten turned upside down. We don't know God because we're consumed with self. We don't know God because we let this life rule and have no idea what we're really doing instead of looking forward to life with God. Really, the way to put it would be this. What we do is we fear men more than we fear God. In chapter 5, verse 17, I want to end with this. Just two more things, just very quickly. 5:17, he says this. There's a threat made. The Pharaoh says to the people, you are idle. You are idle. And that's why you say, let's go sacrifice to the Lord. So here's the threat that Pharaoh makes. Because you're talking about God, and you want to go and worship Him, you want to go and be out there serving Him instead of serving me, I'm going to make life hard on you now. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? If you speak about God, you talk about religion, you talk about things about salvation, well, we're going to make life hard on you if you do that. Doesn't that sound familiar? Don't tell me about God. Don't talk about the Bible. Don't talk about morality. You talk about those things, we'll make like your life really hard. So the children of Israel had to be thinking about this. Is it worth all the pain? Is it worth the humiliation? Is it worth all the punishment? We can make things so much easier for ourselves if we just forget all this God talk and if we just comply with Pharaoh. If we would just fall in line with what Pharaoh wants, things would be so much easier. And Moses is going to tell them a bold choice has to be made. Do you fear God or do you fear man? Do you want to please God or do you want to please your culture? The reason that so many have given in and have changed the way they think about so many moral positions is not because the Bible's changed. It's not because some Bible scholar has some new insight. Nobody's been enlightened. It's because they fear the opinion of men rather than seeking the blessing of God. Same thing they were facing then. You don't know God because you fear men more than you fear Him. And really, it boils down to this. We've just stopped listening. The evidence was there for Pharaoh. If you look at Exodus 7:13 or Exodus 8:15, again and again it says, Pharaoh just didn't listen. The evidence was there. God had made Himself known in clear and powerful ways, but Pharaoh refused to listen. So the message is clear for us too. God's calling us to repentance. Luke 13:3. God is calling on us to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus. Romans 10:9. God is calling on us to be born again, John 3, verses 3 through 5. The question is, are we listening? Pharaoh was destroyed because he refused to listen. The people were delivered from Egypt because Egypt wouldn't listen. So I'm asking you this morning, what is it that's keeping you from knowing the Lord? Do you wish to know Him as the loving, empathetic rewarder? Or shall you come to know Him as the one who distinguishes and punishes? Do you know the Lord? He knows you and He sees you and He hears you and He loves you and He longs to deliver you. And so if you are listening, let me implore with you to respond to Him while we stand and sing.